question at this time. McKenna, Larry, and Buzz, could I get you to take care of this, please? It is a pleasure to be up here with my brother, to share the podium with him. Seems like he just got back from the Philippines, as Frank alluded to this morning, talking about Melba, and I can see her, as he described her this morning, very well. And I love to hear about those experiences that happen over there, and being privileged enough to go over one time. I appreciate the work over there, and I appreciate what goes on, the effort that our brothers do in that part of the world. And I'd like to say I'm a little bit envious, and to some degree I am a little envious of that particular part of the work, but I know that each of us have a part in this work, whether it be overseas or it be right here in this East Local. And I know that that's why we've come this evening, because you know that you have a work to do. And you've come out this evening to listen to one of your ministry, God's ministry, to better instruct you and correct you that you can do that work that you've been called to do. I know that my brother Mike has made preparation. He is the prepared one in the family. I happen to be one that just kind of, my wife will tell you, wings everything. But Mike has always been one that has made the preparation. So I know that he has made preparation for you this evening. So I know that he would appreciate your kind attention and your prayers and your smiles, my brother Mike.
Good evening. Good to look out and to see each and every one of you and the visitors that we have. I'd like to invite you to turn to Matthew, the 8th chapter. Matthew 8, and I'm going to be looking at verses 18 through 22. But before I do, I want to add a little light to what our brother Frank talked about this morning. He said he felt like he was taken advantage of in the Philippines. With his age, with his memory that's starting to fade, with his diminished physical abilities, I suppose. But I feel emboldened to make a correction because of the visitors that we have in our midst this day. Back when Brother Jay was able to travel with Brother Frank and I, he gained a title. GMD. Grand and Masterful Delegator. And he gained that because he had better intellect at that time, I suppose, and he pulled many a hood over Jay and I. His physical abilities were stronger. He was always one step ahead of us back then. And he was able to delegate a great many things. And we gave him that title in a respectful tone. And now it's payback. What I'd like to bring to you today is Matthew, the 8th chapter, verses 18 through 22. And I'd like to read these and go back and talk about some of the verses, what they mean. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. And Brother Frank's sermon this morning talked about the importance of faith and how that faith seems to ebb and flow. It does within myself, I know. Sometimes I seem to be very strong in that faith, and sometimes I question that faith. But faith is what enables us to look to a God that is omnipotent, above all, and in control of all things. And Brother Frank made a statement. He said, sometimes we look at a scripture and it just doesn't look right or it isn't fair. And in these verses here, we have a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ that came to him and said that he would make a commitment to follow the Christ wherever he went. Wow. Wherever the Lord would go, this man would follow Christ. But Christ was able to look inside and to measure what was there. And he reminded him that this discipleship that he would take up would have a cost. A great many things of the world would be given up as a sacrifice to make this great work possible. I understood that part of it. But then when I got down to the second disciple that made a special request, he asked that he follow, but that first he go and he be allowed to bury his father. And I was taken back by that. That's one of those that just did not seem fair to me. That was a valid request. We're not told whether his father was already passed on, whether he was sick, whether he was elderly, and this would be a long, drawn-out process. But the Lord was able to look into his heart and measure what was there. What I didn't see was that first Christ said, follow me. I was taken back what he would have to give up, what customer tradition he would not be allowed to accomplish for his father, his earthly father. But the Lord bade him to follow him in faith. And each of us have made that choice. We have heard the Lord Jesus Christ knock at the door to our heart, and we have answered. We have entered into a work. We have entered into a work that will not end until Christ comes and beyond, that will not end until we finally lay this great work down. We make choice. Whether we commit to follow the Christ, whether he speaks to our heart and we hear that cry, that plea to follow him, we have entered into this great work. But having said that, Steve said that I am here to offer correction and instruction. But many times the sermon that I come up with is meant for me as much as for any of you. And as I look at this commitment that Christ asks us to make, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And starting with verse 12, it talks about the body of Christ, of which we are a part. And we all know this. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is the Lord Jesus Christ. Each of us come from different backgrounds, have different strengths, have different ways that we believed in the very beginning. But we're asked to lay that aside and enter into a body and to become one. For by one Spirit we are baptized, and Ephesians 4 makes that statement, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Not one of us is above another. Not one of us is below. We're in this together as members in one body, for the body is not one member, but many. Having said that, I have times have rested within the body of Christ. Chosen to rest. Chosen to take time off. To not be at the forefront. To not be an active worker. And you have to answer for yourself whether you have rested at large within the body of Christ. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. There are those within the body of Christ that look at where they are not placed and are envious, are jealous, are doubtful of those that have position or responsibility, that have taken up the work. But it says here that God has placed us where it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. We are asked to meld ourselves into one body. Steve says that his strength is not being prepared. Maybe I'm prepared because I feel it to be my weakness. Steve's strength maybe is being able to wing it. I can't do that. But we're asked to become one body in Christ, but yet we're many members. And if we're ever going to accomplish that, we have to put self down, Christ up, and each other on an equal footing, one with the other. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And as I look at the difference between my earthly brother and myself, maybe there's a strength in our weakness. Maybe there is a weakness in our strength. But together, we make a pretty good team. And each of us within this body of Christ, as members in particular, and what makes us particular? Those differences in talents, in skills, and in weakness, and the weaknesses that Christ has made a great strength in him. Rested at large, but we're part of the body of Christ. And there will be no rest until Christ comes back again. I'd like to ask you to turn to Mark, the 13th chapter. But before I do, talking about resting at large within the body, we went to a place in the Philippines called Malunan. And it took a long time for me to learn how to say that, because there's a G in there that is silent. And every time one of the brothers would tell me how to say that word, I would repeat it back, and I think I was correct. But their weakness is they don't say, "That's right." They say it again, exaggerated, the way they want you to say it. And I would try to correct what I'd said and move that much farther from the way it should have been said. But we went to Malunan, Makilala. And it was about a 3.5-hour drive to get there. Wasn't a difficult journey. It was just long. And it was at the literal end of the road. We couldn't go any farther. We ran out of road probably, a half mile before we were there. And when we arrived, there was a few there to greet us, not many, but a few. And it grew to be about 85, 90. And they had a tarp that was about 12 feet wide and about 40 feet long, strung between a house and a coconut tree, and I'm not sure what the other tree was. And they assembled there to hear us, about 80 people. Five were to be baptized that day. But the others came to see who we were. And we presented who we were, the Church of Christ, what we stand for, what makes the Church of Christ different from any other church in the world. It's Christ's church. And then Brother Frank presented the articles of faith and practice. And I want to back up just a little bit, because everyone was seated on a plastic chair. Didn't belong to the five members or soon to be members of the Church of Christ. A Methodist man went over the hill and would carry back about 15 chairs at a time. Put them down, back over the hill, and he was taking them out of a Methodist church. And I'm to explain how we're different from any other church in the world. And this good man is taking from his church, bringing to our group, our assembly, that we might present the gospel of Christ in its purity. Now, we have a message. And it's one that we can never compromise the truth. But it's also one that you cannot thump them in the head when this good man is bringing chair after chair after chair. Everyone is seated and comfortable. And I wonder what that man's decision will be. He wasn't one of the five that were baptized. But he heard the message, as did about 70 other people. And I wonder what their decision will be, having heard the truth, if they'll step out in faith or if they'll hold back to what is custom, what is tradition, what is comfortable. Or will they rest? Or will they step out? One of the five that was baptized that day was a good Baptist. Good Baptist man. And afterwards, there were tears coming down his cheek. And he tried to explain what had happened. Something had touched him. He had felt a change from deep within and without. And he was different. And he searched for the words in it. He wasn't trying to use English to explain. He was trying to use their language, and he didn't have words. Now, I don't know about you. When you experienced the change that Christ made within you, did you have tears? Were you able to communicate? To share what you had experienced? What Christ does. When he beckons those out of the world to follow him. Not to worry about bearing a father. Not to worry about the cares and the fears and the differences, but to know and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ for who He is. Something to remember. And I've got a picture of that man, but I've got another picture of the house that that tarp was anchored at. And on the end of that house, they always have a little jut coming out, probably about this wide, about that deep, bamboo. And they build a fire just inside the house on this little jut that comes out. And I often wonder what keeps bamboo from igniting. But that's where they cook, and the smoke fills the house. It comes out through that structure. But the picture I have is of the smoke coming out of the house, and in the foreground, the lady of the house had planted orchids on a dead tree. And you wonder about the beauty of an orchid, the simplicity of life that they know. You wonder about that man that was a Baptist and now has been changed. Good man before, but changed in the Lord Jesus Christ. From a simple life, a comfortable life, to the beauty that Christ alone can place in him. Mark the 13th chapter. And it's talking about the Son of Man and His coming, starting with verse 26. And down through verse 31, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." What we hold near and dear in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, the Word of God, things will change. Men will attempt to do right and fail in this world. But what we embrace in Christ will not pass away. His Word, His promise. But it talks about, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." I don't know about you, but I look at the world today, the pressures, the problems that we embrace, the shortages, the fear, right or wrong. I get caught up in the world, worrying about bearing the Father instead of following the Lord Jesus Christ. "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." And I wonder sometimes, we've entered into a race. purpose is saving money on batteries. Seriously. Rusty said that the batteries they're on now are run-of-the-mill batteries that you buy in every drugstore or whatever. There is one brand that he has bought that lasts. But we're eating up batteries, or long-winded preachers, I'm not sure which. But anyway, I wonder sometimes whether we defer the race that we have entered into, that we choose to hold back from working towards a common goal, a common purpose, following this Lord Jesus Christ as we promised we would. I wonder sometimes whether we are caught up in what we experience in the physical life and are not prepared to step out in that faith that Brother Frank talked about. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Is that spiritual purpose in life as real to us as the day-to-day problems? I can only speak for myself. I get caught up in the world. I need this. I need to read. I need to hear sermons. I need to study. I need to pray to God in faith and allow Him to remind me of what I have entered into and for what purpose. Sometimes I defer the race. I take up the easy mark, the easy way. And in this verse 34, it says that Christ gave authority to His servants. I'm a servant of Christ with a responsibility, with a duty that goes along with it. But it's not just your ministry. It is every one of us as a body of Christ, because it says that He gave every man his work. All of us have a responsibility to the body of Christ and to Christ, which is the head. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning. And Steve will tell you he wings it, waits till the last. In this, we can't put it off. We must recognize our weakness and prepare for Christ coming, lest coming suddenly He find you sleeping. Taking time off, deferring that race, setting when we should be alert, walking, running, looking and longing for that finish line. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. I fall short. Another place we visited was Amos in Kittapawin. And it's about a 4-hour journey there and 4 hours back. And in this place, we met in a church building, and it overflowed out the back and out both the sides. There were 4 separate churches there to meet us, to greet us, and to hear us. And this was the day that Frank was sick. But he toughed it out. He was up front. And I took an hour and a half explaining again who the Church of Christ is. Now, the night before, as we made preparations, Elder Roger Manali, this is his area, and he was talking to Brother Frank, and we were talking about the journey, what would happen, and Roger's saying there are so many there, I will have to baptize them one this way and this way and this way. And he was ready to baptize each and every one there. And after we explained, after we presented who we are, not one asked for baptism. Roger's face was a little bit down. But it's not a commitment that you make without planning ahead. It's a race from start to finish, and we want strong members. And we want to reassure each other along the way in this race. That's your responsibility, and that's my responsibility. To make sure that every little one makes the end of that journey, that every old one, diminished in capacity, finishes the race also. I'd like to turn in the Book of Mormon to 1 Nephi, chapter 1. First Nephi chapter 1 and verses 145 through 156. And we know this is the story of Lehi, his sons, his wife Sariah, of their journey. In verse 147, it says, she also had complained against my father, Lehi's wife, telling him that he was a visionary man, saying, behold, thou hast led us forth from the land of our inheritance, looking back at the world, and my sons are no more. Her family, her loved sons that she brought into the world went, commissioned of God to bring the plates back. And she knew who possessed the plates and what could happen. And we perish in the wilderness, away from all they knew. Verse 149, and it had come to pass that my father spake unto her, saying, I know that I am a visionary man. For if I had not seen the things of God in a vision, I should not have known the goodness of God. And unless you step out in faith, how can you ever come to the knowledge of God? Brother Frank said, how do we know that God is? We can only know so much. Faith is important. And that faith exercised becomes a knowledge. And with that knowledge, God places evidence within us. Just as that good Baptist man was changed from what he knew to that new creature in Christ, and he tried to put it in words, all it took was a tear. All it took was an empty mouth. And you knew he had been changed, just as Lehi had in a vision. And he said, if we had tarried at Jerusalem, we would have perished with our brethren. But behold, I have obtained a land of promise. Brothers and sisters, you and I have obtained a land of promise in faith. Not here yet. But Christ is coming. And if we are to follow him, do we regard the things of the world? Are we content to rest from the race? To be a member at large within the body of Christ, not a member of a local, but at large, to go where you will and do what you want? Or are we ready to take up what is our responsibility, our duty, and our work? Verse 153, And when we had returned to the tent of my father, behold, their joy was full, and my mother was comforted. Not till that mother saw her sons enter into that tent would she be comforted. Brothers and sisters, we will endure and go through a great many things and may not receive comfort until we see Christ come back. Are we ready for that kind of journey? That kind of commitment? And she spake, saying, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath commanded my father, my husband, to flee into the wilderness. Yea, and I also know of a surety that the Lord hath protected my sons, and delivered them out of the hands of Laban, and gave them power whereby they could accomplish the thing which the Lord hath commanded them. And after this manner of language did she speak. And Brother Frank this morning told you that we are here today, back from the Philippines, because of your prayers to God, because of our faith together as members in particular of the body of Christ, because God speaks to His and warns and comforts and protects and calls us out of the world. But sometimes we may use duty as an excuse. Let me go and bury my father. Let me take care of my business before. Let me attain just this one goal in life, and then I'll follow. But that's not what Christ has called us to do. We have a new elder in the Philippines by the name of George Cabriatas. He's only been an elder for, about 4 months now? Been a good, solid leader for 4 or 5 years. Good man. And God called him to be an elder. Gave him his authority. Gave him his responsibility. But he's also the son of a chief, one of the tribes, one of the tribal people. And his father is old, nearing death, and he wants to pass that position on to his son. In order to do that, Brother George would have to resign his eldership. It's not an easy decision to be chief of a tribe in an isolated area. Responsibility, power, authority, money, income. But he's been touched by God. He knows Christ. He has answered the same knock or tuk-tuk in the Philippines. He has come out of the world. No longer regards the world, but he regards Jesus Christ. You may say, well, that's great. But since then, he has been persecuted where he lives. Someone is jealous of his commitment to Christ. His ministry has turned him into the New People's Army as an informant to the military in the Philippines. And they've threatened his life with a machete and decapitation. But yet he is resolved to be who he is in Christ. He's moved for a while, laying low, praying hard, and he'll go back. Will God protect him? Does God protect us? Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Without Christ, we're all dead. Christ looks within each of us and determines what is necessary for the soul's salvation. Just as he admonished those two disciples that desired to follow. He requires you and I to look, to listen, to determine the true purpose of life. And if we take up a life with Christ because we have chosen Him and chosen to not regard the world, to live in the world, but not be a part of it, if we continue to choose Christ, there is growth. But that life that we have taken up in Christ, if we do not take it up and continue in it and keep it pure, there is death. Maybe not physically, but apart from God. And if there is death, if we give up Christ, we become slothful. And if we are slothful, there is decay, and what we have, we lose. Luke 9, verse 60. Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." He gave authority to the servants, yes, to preach, but he gave every man and every woman their work. And if we're part of the body of Christ, members in particular, and each of us have talents and skills, each of us have weaknesses that have become strong in Christ, and it also says those that were less comely became more honorable. Because of the honor that we bestow upon each other. In other words, a helping hand, a kind word, a reassuring thought, a prayer. Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Instruction, correction. Having said that, it's not just you, it's me. We have to look at each of our lives. How we measure up not against each other, but against Christ. He is the mark. He is the example. He's everything. And I thank you.